This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyid al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa azwajihi wa man wala wa ba'd. Fa inna asdaq al-hadith kitabullah wa khayr al-hadith hadi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa sharr al-umur muhdathatuha wa kullu muhdathatin bid'a wa kullu bid'atin dalala wa kullu dalalatin fi an-nar. أيها الأخوة الكرام، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. To my esteemed elders and to the administrators of this prestigious institution and to the staff people and to the elder students and to the most youngest ones. I am very honored to come to an institution like Darul Uloom and to even know that I am standing here in a masjid, a house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is in transition. And so any words we say or any intentions that we make or any contribution which we make here standing in this honorable place, it will act for us as a sadaqatun jariyah. It will be for us also as one of the things which the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, ilmun yantafi'u bih. It will also produce, hopefully, waladun saliha, children, progeny, who will make dua for us when we pass on. So my niyyah for coming here today was to try to make my footprint felt, to say something that may impact upon the minds of a young student or an older student, because we never know who is here. And I want to remind you and remind myself that among the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah tells us himself of the special station which they had in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to them in this manner. He says, "A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, radiyallahu anhum wa radhu an dhalika liman khashiya rabbah." This is the level of the relationship which they established with Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And among those people, there was a man who was considered to be nondescript in his manner, sort of looked down upon. No one knew what talent he had, and in fact, he was sort of the kind of person we call in the English language eclectic, meaning always sort of like making a nuisance of himself, always following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam where he went, sitting outside the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, always sitting near him, following him, wanting to sleep outside his door, never wanting to leave the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, until some of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to tell him, "Why you don't leave the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam alone? Why you keep bothering him? Go away. Just stand over. Go over there." But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had special love for this person, and that person and others like him, they were called Ahlul Suffa. Because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he built a special platform in his masjid for them. That man's name was Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. This was his nickname, because he used to keep small cats with him in his sleeve all the time. They gave him this name, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. And in reading the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is always revealing, every time we read the seerah, it is revealing more for us, I discovered that this man, Abu Huraira, whose name cannot be overlooked. Any page of Sahih Bukhari, any page of Sahih Muslim, of the Sahih Sitta, turn any page, almost, you'll find his name there. An Abi Huraira radiallahu an, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like that. A man who now is known to us in this posterity, in this time, to be the most prolific relator of authentic ahadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Is it? Is this correct? Only one person comes near to him among the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this was Aisha radiallahu anha. So we would think that Abu Huraira radiallahu an, that he was one of the most prominent of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Of course, to us he is. No doubt. We would have thought that he would have joined the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam early in his life, in Mecca, and that he would have stayed with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam all the way up until the time the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We would have also thought perhaps that he was one of the most preeminent people of Quran, and that he was prepared by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself to be a receptacle for hadith. We would think that, but that is not the case. Actually, Abu Huraira radiallahu an was only with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam 2.5 years. Is it 2.5 or 3 years? 2.5 or 3 years. In the last part of the Hijrah, in the days of Medina. And he had a special characteristic, deficiency, which he said, it's in a well-known part of the seerah. He said one day, he came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wallahi, I want to try to retain from you some things, but I cannot. I cannot remember anything. Just my mind cannot hold it. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took a shawl from around his shoulders and laid it on the ground and passed his hands over this shawl, reciting some words, and he gave it to Abu Huraira, and Abu Huraira put it around him, and he said, wallahi, after that day I never forgot any single word from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Period of time, a man of deficiency, a man who was considered to be a nuisance, but whom the Prophet ﷺ loved, and whomsoever the Prophet ﷺ loves, Allah orders Jibreel to love, and whoever Jibreel loves, Allah loves. So Allah had special love for Abu Huraira and gave him this gift. We take another companion of the Prophet ﷺ, who was a young boy, like maybe 13, 14, 15 years old, who was the son of one of the favorite uncles of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And even though he was a young man, very young, like some of you here, he was soon to become the Mufti of Medina. Who are we speaking about? Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. A man who became the Mufti in the time of Abu Bakr Siddiq, Umar ibn Khattab, Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhum, the Khulafa. Yet this young boy, he was the Mufti. Why? Not because Abu Bakr Siddiq or Umar ibn Khattab or Uthman ibn Affan or Ali ibn Abi Talib, they could not give fatwa. They did. They gave ahkam and they gave fatwa. But they made reference to Ibn Abbas because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him a special ijaza to give fatwa. Because he knew, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him a vehicle, a mind, and a heart that was so clear that whatsoever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave to him from ahkam and from tafsir and from other things, it sat upon his mind like that and it responded like a mirror. And because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him ijazah to give fatwa while he was living, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, no one would pass any issue without asking Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. And I give you another example of a young man who was the son of another great companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One day the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam called a young man by the name of Usama and told him, "Ya Usama, today I will take you to an area where your father was martyred. I will allow your horse, I will allow the feet of your horse to walk in the place where your father was martyred. And this was a special gift the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was giving to Usama. At that age, at that time, Usama was 14, I believe, maybe 15. The Shaykh, he will correct me. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took him, I think it was Tabuk or where they fought the Jews, Khaybar, this area. And before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, he gave Usama a station. We cannot imagine how a young boy could be given this kind of station. When the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, I believe Usama was 16. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam appointed him as the Amir of the Jaysh. The Amir of the Muslim army, the commander. And it would seem impractical to most historians or academians or to biographers or to people looking from the outside to measure qualifications. How could the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam select a young boy like that over all these eminent companions, Khalid ibn Walid, Ubaydullah ibn Jarrah, all these great companions, Umar ibn Khattab, how he could select them like that? But the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is selecting always from wahi. Selecting from wahi. Something we cannot do. From what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspires him with. And when Umar ibn Khattab suggested to Abu Bakr and Siddiq, "Ya Abu Bakr, don't you think," Umar is saying, radiallahu anhu, because Umar was a pragmatist. He's always analyzing things. His name was Farooq. You know, Umar ibn Khattab was called Umar al-Farooq. He was always evaluating people and things, and this was his quality. So he says to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, "Ya Abu Bakr, don't you think that we should maybe select someone who is more seasoned, more mature, more experienced in place of Usama?" And he was thinking like most people think. But Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu never thought like the other people thought. When the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made the Isra and the Mi'raj, you see how the people thought? But how did Abu Bakr think? Always Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is thinking as Siddiq, honoring the manifestation of Haqq. Honoring, always following, supporting, never doubting, never being pragmatist, not trying to analyze, but just sama'a wa ta'a. Ati Allah wa ati Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The man that manifested that the most was Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. So, how do you think that Abu Bakr, he took this suggestion of Umar radiallahu anhu? He was very angry. He asked him, "Ya Umar, are you asking me to reverse a decision of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam?" He asked him like that. "Are you asking me to reverse a decision of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Is that what you're doing? How dare you to even suggest something like that? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said there was no one better for this position except his father." This is what the Abu Bakr said. After that, Umar, he kept quiet. You know, just like he kept quiet when he said, "If anybody says the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is dead, I will kill him." And what did Abu Bakr tell him then? He was very intelligent. He said, "Oh people," he didn't say to Umar, he said, "Oh people," because everyone don't want to say nothing in front of Umar. He said, "Oh people, look, if any one of you is worshipping Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's dead. But if you are worshipping Allah, he is Al-Hayyul Qayyum. And he never dies. La yamut." And Umar at that time, he also was what? Quiet. He could not say nothing. Because he knew that a person who was the emanation of Haqq among the people, Siddiq, could not speak after that. So Usama, subhanallah, Usama was the man that when the Romans, who were 6 or 7 times the size of the Muslim army, the Persians, who were 6 or 7 times the size of the Muslim army, when Usama came out with the Muslims to fight them, they thought to themselves, "This small army with this young guy," subhanallah, they said, "this small army with this young guy with them, this must be just a tactic they're using. They must have a huge group of people with us to kill us." So they ran away. Subhanallah. And to Usama that day, he was marching in front of the army as if he was like tall as this building. And he was commanding his people like he was the most eldest of all of them. And they could not believe it. This small group of Muslims. And they, the Romans, and in another battle, the Persians. Huge number. And in both cases, the Muslims routed them. There was not even a skirmish. Subhanallah. Allah give victory to Usama like that. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he foresaw that. That's why he said to Usama, "You brothers sitting here today, somebody among you is like Abu Bakr. I mean, some of you is like Abu Huraira. Someone here is like Abu Huraira. You will become muhaddith. You will preserve the hadith. You will become a teacher. Although your student, your fellow students is laughing at you now. They're calling you some little names now. They're saying that you can't remember nothing and you're stupid and you're this and you're that. But one of you sitting here is going to be like Abu Huraira. We don't know which one. And one of you sitting here is also going to be like..." What's the second companion I mentioned? Ibn Abbas. "You're going to learn ahkam. And you're going to learn fiqh. And you're going to become a faqih. And you will give hukum. And you will give judgments. And you will explain for the people of Trinidad and for other places which you will go. And you will be young and you will be dynamic and people will marvel. Because Allah give that to somebody who's sitting here today. And one of you will also take your knowledge, but you will go to one of the battlefields of Islam. And there are many, and there will be more soon. Many battlefields for the Muslims to combat kufr and shirk and fawahish and ignorance and the enemies of Allah and the enemies of Islam. And one of you will be like Usama. No reference to any contemporary Usama. We mean like Usama ibn Zayd. Because this is the Usama we are concerned about today. Usama ibn Zayd. So as I speak to you, I'm speaking to you with a vision. And I'm saying to you that I have 5 sons, 7 daughters, and 27 grandchildren. And I'm asking Allah, as a new Muslim who came from the kufr, the dark places of the kufr. What's the name of that town the brothers told me they want to take me, the Brooklyn of Trinidad? Huh? Laventure, yeah. This is a Hollywood. This is like a resort area when it comes to Brooklyn. I want to go there because this is like a cakewalk for us. If you think Laventure is something, Brooklyn, we can just, like, they're like lollipops for us. That's where I'm from. Harlem, Brooklyn. So I'm not proud from where I came from, but I thank Allah. Because Allah can reach down into the recesses, the bowels of humanity, and He can pull something out, shake it off, throw it down. And here we have a person like myself, sitting here talking to future scholars. I don't know why. What I deserve to be standing here talking to future scholars and to people who are already scholars and to in a place which will be one of the largest houses of worship in this country. Why I'm standing here? Only because it is the Qadr. Qadr. And I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I want to tell you this message. Look to the future, young men. Don't look for now. Work very hard right now. Be serious. Work very hard. Laugh little. Work very hard. Don't waste your time. Keep your eyes on the prize. Keep your ear to the teacher. Let the other ones fool around. Because one of you, some few of you, will be the ones that will defend this nation. We don't know which one of you. We don't know from where the armies of Allah will come. What is the ayah? وَمَا يَعْلَمُ جُنُودُ رَبِّكَ وَمَا يَعْلَمُ جُنُودُ رَبِّكَ إِلَّهُ. Huh? Yes. We don't know from where the armies of Allah will come, but some of them will come from you. Not armies just fighting battles in the battlefields, but armies who are fighting the battles of ideas, armies of fighting the battles of ignorance. So the ulama and the fuqaha, the students of knowledge, they are also from the armies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because those who are having the weapons and who are out losing their lives so we can rest and eat and sleep, when they come back, we're the ones, you're the ones who have to teach. And while they're out, you're the ones, and we're the ones who have to cultivate the knowledge and keep it flowing. And this was a promise from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the Islamic knowledge would never die. Scholars would die, but the Islamic knowledge would be preserved. Allah promised that His message, His book, the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be preserved. And who will preserve it? You. And I just want to give ajr. An ajr. That maybe I struck a match that lit your candle. And your candle, it create a huge bonfire of Islamic knowledge. And so I will get ajr on the day of judgment. That when my deeds or my bad deeds are looked at, maybe a malaika will come and say, "Oh Allah, oh Allah, he was standing one place among your servants, and he was not the best of any of them. But he said something that inspired one of them to become what you wanted them to be." And maybe that deed will tear down some of those other ones. As Allah says, يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتِ. This is what we're praying for. And I want to remind you of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's speech where he said, "مَنْ سَلَقَ طَرِيقًا يَطْلُبُ فِيهِ عِلْمًا سَحَلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ طَرِيقًا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ." Is this correct, Shaykh? Whosoever takes a path as you have, seeking knowledge therein, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make easy for you the path towards Jannah. Why it will be easy? Because anyone who has a candle can find his way. But the people who have no candle, they're always stumbling, falling into things. You see? So the person who has knowledge, the path becomes open for him. It becomes lit for him. It becomes easy for him to pass through because he has the knowledge. But those who don't have the knowledge, they're bumping into things and they got to back up and start over again. They're damaging themselves and they got scars to show that. The only way they will learn is they hit something and bounce back and keep going until somebody with knowledge cuts on the light and says, "Brother, you don't have to go through that. Come through this way. This is who you are." And brothers, keep in mind that all people like myself, all the people of knowledge, the ulama, the fuqaha, the elder people, the people of taqwa, they all make dua for you. Even the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that even the malaika in the heavens and those walking, the servants of Allah who walk the earth, and even the animals and the fish inside the sea, even the ant inside its hole, it makes dua for talib al-ilm. So as you are seeking knowledge, it's ibadah for you. Only way it will be broken is you commit some fawahish, some kaba'ir. So make tawbah to Allah regularly. And remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regularly. And send salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam regularly. And listen to your teachers. And to obey your parents. And make extra ibadah. And to make dua for the people who give to you, your parents and the people of knowledge. Do this and you will become mukhlisin. If you become mukhlisin, then you don't have much to worry about. Because you will become mukhlis. Dear brothers, I'm very grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be here today. To remind you of issues which some people have reminded me. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that one of my sons, who is not so religious, but they're already adults, that one of you will inspire him. And they will come back and become like one of you. And I pray to Allah that my youngest son, Abdul Hakim, who is just 16 months, that when he is of the proper age, I will bring him here. Because why should I take him someplace else? I will bring him here, inshallah. And he will come here speaking Spanish, and he will come here speaking English, and he will come here speaking Arabic already, inshallah. Because before I bring him here, he will spend 6 years in Mecca, inshallah. Just to get the language and to become familiar with Mecca. Because he made tawaf when he was just 13 months, crawling around the haram. So I know he has a love for haram. He did it on his own. He just saw the people moving. He crawled with them. So I will bring him, inshallah, to Darul Uloom, inshallah. So he can memorize Quran. And that he can memorize hadith and seerah and fiqh. See, underqualified people in a good, clean environment. And maybe Abdul Hakim will be the son, or one of my grandsons will be the one who will achieve what I could not achieve. And if Abdul Hakim is not the one, or one of my grandsons is not the one, make dua for me, and one of you will be the ones who will achieve what I could not achieve. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make me a partner in Darul Uloom. You know, where he says, هَلْ أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَى تِجَارَةٍ تُنْجِيكُمْ مِنْ عَذَابٍ عَلِيمٍ. Make me a partner like that, in that business. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala join our hearts together. Create a love from me for you, and a love from you for me, and a love for us for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because whomsoever loves each other only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then special guarantees have been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. You know, in the hadith of Qudsi, أَيْنَ الْمُتَحَابُونَ بِجَلَالِ الْيَوْمَ أُذِلُّهُمْ لَا ذِلَّ إِلَّا ذِلِّ. Who are those who love each other only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I will give them shade. On a day there will be no shade except my shade. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cause you to be a nur for Trinidad. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cause you to be a guidance for the future generations. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this masjid, that it will be expanded, that it will be full immediately, and that it will be expanded. And not only it will be full on Jum'ah, but it will be full at Fajr, it will be full at Salatul Isha, and it will be full for Qiyam al-Layl. This is what we pray. Because when the masjids come back like that, then the earth will come back under our feet, belonging to us. When Allah sends the earth back belonging to us, everything on the earth will be under our command. But if the earth is not under us like that, why should the rest of the earth be under our command? No, we are under its command. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you, brothers, and bless your teachers, and bless the institution and the founders of this institution. And we should make dua for them every day, because we would not be here except that they had a vision and they made the sacrifice. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika wa nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta wa astaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.